Good day, friends. Again, it is our joy to come to you. And may I say, it's a real delight, and I mean it when I say it, it's a real delight for me to talk to you about the Savior. Take the Word of God and seek to unfold the riches, the wonderful riches of His grace. And when you start to think about what the Lord has done for us and what the Lord does with us, with each one of us, we can just rejoice in the fact that He loves us with an everlasting love. And one can't read the gospel through Mark without realizing the tremendous compassion that the Savior had for men and women, especially those in trouble. He didn't run away from trouble. He didn't run away from people, especially people who were in their need. Oh, God grant that we Christians might be something along the same line. Now, we were dealing in our last lesson with the fact of our Lord having authority as a teacher, and then His authority over demons, of how they knew who He was and what He was and so forth and so on. And then we had, the last lesson we had, His authority over disease. And you remember it was Peter's mother who was full of fever. And this woman was transformed from weakness to strength, from restlessness to a place of peace. Amazing, isn't it? And I read, she ministered unto them. She ministered unto the Lord, and she ministered unto these four disciples. Wonderful thing when you think of it. The first thing is to minister unto Him. That's the first thing. And then we minister unto others. You see, there are, in the evening, verse 32 to 34, that evening, He spent the time just meeting people's needs. He healed their sick. He cast out demons. And by the way, He suffered not the demons to speak. Even though they knew Him, He shut them up. You know, it's a wonderful thing when you think of it. What a day in the life of our Savior. He starts in Capernaum, teaches the people. And He casts out demons. Then possibly in the afternoon, He heals Peter's mother. And then when the sun was set, He turned around and healed everybody who came unto Him. He healed them, cast out demons, and He forbid the demons to speak. As I say it again, this is not the prerogative of demons to talk about the Savior. That's yours. That's mine. Not only is it a privilege, but a responsibility. As Paul could say, you remember, in 2 Corinthians 5:20, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, we beseech you in behalf of Christ, be ye reconciled to God. Or the last part of Luke 24, when our Lord said to the disciples after resurrection, you are witnesses of these things. Or in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you shall receive power, the Spirit of God coming upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Where? Jerusalem, your hometown. Then your neighborhood, Samaria, then to the uttermost parts of the earth. But the first thing is to minister unto Him. And out of that worship of Him, out of that time spent with Him, we become endued with His power to do the job that He wants us to do. Please don't look at somebody else and say, well, if I had His gift or her gift, my, what I would do. No. God has made you just the way you are. You've got some capacities that God can use. He took His fishermen and used the capacity they had to catch fish. Now you can catch men. Whatever you are, whoever you are, wherever you are, the Lord can use you in one way or another. Don't look at crowds. Don't expect God to do some great thing through you. He wants you. He may do some great things through you. He may not. Suffice, it's enough just to walk with Him and have Him guide us. Now, starting in verse 35, we have from verse 35 to 39 a wonderful passage of Scripture. In the morning, this is the next morning after such a heavy day, early in the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with Him followed after Him. And when they had found Him, they said to Him, all men seek for thee. And He said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out demons. Did you notice, after such a long day, teaching in their synagogues, casting out demons, healing the sick, and so on all through the day, he got up way early in the morning. What for? To have a time with his Father. Here you have his communion with his Father. As the servant of Jehovah, which is Mark, he met with his Father. What for? Well, possibly to find out what the Father wanted him to do that day. Remember, he's in subjection to his Father. He came to minister, not to be ministered unto. He came as the servant of God. And as a servant, he spent time with his Father. Do you? Do I? You know, this convicts me. This really convicts me. You say, well, you've had a good day. The Lord has used you with people, and you've taught the scriptures and done this and that and the other thing, and you had a brief night's rest, and did you get up early in the morning and meet with him? Do you walk with him all along the day? Well, Mr. Mitchell, I don't have the strength, you say, to get up early in the morning. That may be, doesn't the Lord know all about that? But when you do get up, do you spend the first time, do you think about him? Do you wake up thinking about the Savior? You know, I would like to have been kind of listening in when the Savior talked with his Father. My, what fellowship, what communion. No wonder God said concerning his Son, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Oh, the love the Father had for the Son, the love the Son had for the Father. And at every opportunity, as a man in the midst of many, he met with his Father. So he could say in John 8, I do always the things that please him. So you have him coming down, the disciples hunting him up. May I just say before I leave that, Sunday school teachers, superintendents, preachers, whatever you are, Christian workers, how much time do you really spend with the Lord? I know you can get so busy for the Lord that you miss meeting with the Lord. It's so easy to be occupied with the things of Christ, the service of Christ, and miss fellowship with the person of Christ. And I want to say your ministry will be determined by how much time you spend in the presence of Christ. Now, it's true, you can walk with the Lord all day long. That's true. That was true of the Savior. I'm sure there wasn't a minute of the day he wasn't in touch with his Father, but he took the time out. This is where we, most of us, fail. We talk about the Savior all day long, yes? We think about him. We sing about him. We love him. But to get alone with him, away from the crowds, away from people, just to be alone with him. Meditate upon what he has said. Ah, friend, this is the place of strength. I think of that verse in Isaiah, you remember, chapter 40, the last verse, verse 31. They that entwine their hearts about the Lord. Or King James Version says, they that wait upon the Lord. I'm going to change it. They that entwine their hearts about the Lord shall change their strength. We'll exchange our weakness for his strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. That is, you get God's vision of things. They shall run and not be weary. We become God's, the messengers of the King. They are the runners. We shall run and not be weary. We shall walk and not faint. Though the path may be rough and steep, we'll not faint. Why? Because we've wrapped our hearts about the Savior. We've fallen in love with the Savior. That's what he means. They that entwine their hearts about the Lord shall change their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles and get vision. They shall run and not be weary, become God's runners. They shall walk and not faint, though the path be rough and steep. This is our Savior. He took the time out to wait upon his Father. Now notice what they said to him. They said to him in verse 37, the disciples said to him, all men Everybody's looking for you. Everybody's looking for you. What for? What for? They were looking for him to see him heal the sick and cast out demons and do the miraculous. And Jesus said, okay, I'm ready for them. No, 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 he didn't. You know what he said? Let us go into the next towns. Let's get away from these people. Let's go into the next towns that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. What for? To preach the gospel. You had that in the beginning part of the chapter. You remember when it says, he said, the time is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Luke tells us that they said, all men seek for thee. And he says, let us go into the next towns and preach the gospel. For this cause came I forth. See? That's why I came. I came bringing good news from God to men. That's why I came. Now, so he preached in their synagogues, in the towns round about, throughout all Galilee. And again we have it, he cast out demons. You notice how often we've had this in this chapter? And first of all, in 23, a man in the synagogue, demon-possessed, was freed. In verse 32, they brought them that were possessed of the devils. In verse 34, he suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. Now, in verse 39, and he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out demons. Which leads me to the rest of the chapter. The rest of the chapter. But note, let me not forget it. He came to preach the gospel. The main thing was not miracles. The main thing was not signs. The main thing was to preach the gospel. Good news, the word of God to man. This has ever been true. Could I just digress for a moment? You think about it. You read your Bible, and there were three great times of miracles. There was Moses in Exodus, followed by Joshua. You got miracles. And then you've got a period of time where nothing is said about miracles. And then you have Elijah and Elisha. When? When the people of Israel were in idolatry. So the person of God was involved. Just like in Egypt, the person of Jehovah was involved. The arrogancy of Pharaoh against God. And the miraculous, the power of God was demonstrated. Likewise through Joshua when they came into the land. Then you have Elijah followed by Elisha. Miracles. To turn the people of God away from their idolatry and corruption. And the next great one is when our Savior came. And he was followed by his disciples in the book of Acts. Now I'm not saying there were no miracles in between all those sessions. For example, between Elisha and the coming of our Savior, where you have a lot of time, 700 or 800 years. But I read in Daniel how God delivered the people, those three Hebrew children, from the fiery furnace. Why? Because the person of God was involved. In chapter 6 of Daniel, Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, and the Lord delivered him from the mouth of the lions. The person of God was involved. When the king said, is thy God able to deliver you? When it comes to our Lord, when he came upon the earth, the person of God was involved. Who is this Jesus? Demons knew him. Angels knew him. Man didn't know him. The person of God was involved. I just suggest this. Down through the centuries, God has done the miraculous. No question about that. He can do it today. I wouldn't limit God. I wouldn't limit God a moment to do what he wants to do. For the revelation of his person to people's hearts. Jesus had performed miracles, and the disciples said, everybody's looking for you. What for? To see some more miracles. Jesus said, let's go into the other towns and preach the gospel there. That's why I'm here, to bring God's word to men, the revelation of God to men. The miracles were the signs of his person, of who he was, what he was. Now, starting in at verse 40 and reading to the end of the chapter, you've got another little wonderful illustration. The cleansing of a leper, verses 40 to 45. Now, you notice in your Bible, as you read, you do not read of Jesus healing lepers. He always cleanses lepers. Leprosy is a type of sin, the corruption of sin in the human heart. Only God can cleanse lepers. Only God can cleanse you. He not only forgives you your sin, but He cleanses you. Ah, blessed be God. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. I'm quoting 1 John 1:7. See? And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. He cleansed lepers. Now here we have it. There came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you want to, if you will, you can make me clean." Ah, he challenged Jesus. "Do you really want to? If you really want to, you can make me whole. But do you want to? Do you want to?" Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and said unto him, "I will, be thou clean." And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And then the Lord told him to go and show himself to the priest and do what Moses commanded. Now you find those instructions in Leviticus chapters 13 and 14. And again I say, in fever we see the restlessness caused by sin. Here we see in leprosy the defilement, the corruption of sin. See, leprosy was an awful disease. And a man was banished to the camp of the lepers. And one day, our Lord is with his disciples. He'd been healing everybody. "Let's go into the next towns and preach the gospel." And here came this leper. If I were visualizing that picture, I would say that Peter and John and Andrew and James, these disciples of our Savior, I think they ran away. The law of Moses commanded that. You mustn't come near lepers. You mustn't come near the lepers. They must stay in the camp of the lepers. I don't know how this man came, but he must have heard a report concerning Jesus Christ. You know, I kind of like that. He came because he heard a report that Jesus was healing people, casting out demons. And I'm sure he could cleanse lepers. How were you saved? By believing a report. How was I saved? By believing a report. The report concerning Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Do you remember Isaiah 53 starts, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Well, the arm of the Lord was revealed is to those who believe the report. And this man must have heard in the camp of the lepers that there was a man called Jesus in Galilee who was healing the sick and casting out demons and possibly healing lepers. So he said to Jesus, "If you want to, you can make me clean." Why didn't Jesus run away? Why didn't Jesus just speak the word? No, I read he had compassion upon him. Ah, blessed be God. Blessed be God. The compassion of Christ. Why was this man healed, if he's cleansed of his leprosy? Because of the compassion of Christ for him. How are you saved from your sin? Because of the compassion of Christ for men and women. Oh, that we might appreciate the compassion and tenderness of the Savior. Listen to it. He had compassion on him. And he put his finger out and touched him. Oh, no. Oh, no. The literal of that is different. If I want to be a little exact, he put forth his hand and laid hold of him. Now, you remember in Moses' law, if you touched a leper, you were unclean. If you touched the leper, you were unclean. Jesus touched the leper, and he was made clean. Why do people sin so much? Because they walk around with sinners. If you put yourself into the way of temptation, you're going to sin. Here's a man being delivered from alcohol. He walks into a saloon. What do you do? The moment he smells a liquor, he drinks. You see, our friend, you and I can't touch sinners without being defiled. Jesus touches a sinner and makes him whole. I came as a sinner and he made me whole. Why? He had compassion upon me. He has compassion upon you. He can make you whole. Then he said, after he cleansed him, he said, now, you go. Before I leave that, may I suggest something? The man said, if you want to, you can make me whole. If you want to. Is Jesus willing to cleanse the leper? Is Jesus willing to save sinners? I should say he is. Our friend, our friend. He's willing to save you today. He's willing to save you if you just put your trust in him. And then he sent this man to the priest, because the priest is the one who must pronounce him clean. Now, the leper couldn't pronounce himself clean. The priest must pronounce him clean. You find it in the 14th chapter of Leviticus, where he must offer two birds alive and so on, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. I may say more of that in our next lesson, if we have time. I'm not clean because I feel it. I'm not forgiven every sin because I feel it. I don't have eternal life because I feel it. I'm not a child of God because I feel it. I'm cleansed. I'm forgiven because God says it. I have eternal life because God says it. I'll never see death because God says it. Isn't it wonderful? Our friend, listen. Why don't you come to the Savior? This man said, if you want to, you can make me clean. Jesus is always willing. Allow me to quote his own words when he said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you peace. I will give you rest. Rest of conscience. And as you walk with him, you have rest of heart. So I plead with your heart today. Just put your trust in him, and you'll be cleansed from all sin. You'll pass from death to life. Become a child of the living God. The Lord bless you today for his name's sake.